Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now, shop.asmia1.com, to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line. You can also find some sales goalkeeper products on our website. Use code SOS for a 10% discount of all products. Also, make sure you follow our social media pages for regular offers and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Season of Sports with me, Asmir Begovic, and my amazing producer, Joe Ovenall. Joe, how are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks, Asmir. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm excited you can join me as always and look after my pod. Got a great episode in store today. We're going to be talking football with the Moose, Ian Abrahams from Talk Sport. I will also be getting into some fantasy football tips with the FPL General. So we've got a great show lined up for everyone. But before we get into that, I wanted to share my thoughts on some recent sporting events as always. As a huge basketball fan, there's no better place to start than the recent Kawhi Leonard trade from San Antonio to Toronto. So the Toronto Raptors get Danny Green and, one of the best players in the NBA in Kawhi Leonard, which has been a saga with the San Antonio Spurs for quite a while. And the San Antonio Spurs, in return, get DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick. Now, for me, I think, this might be the unpopular opinion. I think it's a good trade for both teams. San Antonio needs to move on from Kawhi. There's always been too much tension, too much drama around the franchise with Kawhi and Pop, and it's been going on there. So I think they need to get rid of him. He goes to the East, stays away from a Western Conference rival. And the Toronto Raptors, I think, need to do something as well. That core of DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka hasn't really lived up to the expectations from the Raptors. So I think Kawhi Leonard gives them, if healthy, of course, gives them a huge superstar presence, and I think makes them the favorites in the Eastern Conference. Now, the tricky part with this is obviously that Kawhi Leonard has stated to play in L.A. He will be a free agent after next season. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But at the same time, if he does leave, this gives the Raptors some good cap flexibility. Kyle Lowry will go into his last year of his contract then, so it gives him a chance to rebuild and potentially move on as a whole franchise. So I like the move for both sides, definitely. Moving on to the next story, recently, college football, NCAA stuff. I'm a big fan, and the biggest story recently has obviously been Urban Meyer, the head coach of Ohio State, being placed on administrative leave. Reports have surfaced that Meyer had direct knowledge of domestic abuse allegations involving his former assistant now, which I think is a scary situation. We don't want to make too many speculations or any false accusations, but I think this is obviously a very, very tricky situation. I think he had this assistant at his previous job in Florida, and it's not a nice thing to have anyone. Ohio State were one of the favorites, obviously, for the college championship this year. So I think this puts him potentially back a little bit. But it seems like Urban Meyer is obviously saying that he has had no involvement, didn't know about it. So maybe he's sticking with that story. I guess it's difficult for us to believe one way or another. But interesting how that plays out. Myself, I'm looking really forward to the season. Lots of good things going to happen. I think Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State were probably, the favorites. They were looking really strong. Florida State have the Heisman Trophy favorite at the moment. The quarterback, DeAndre Francois, he's looking like a big superstar in the future. And I'm interested to see how Michigan does. Jim Harbaugh has had a bit of a, rough end of the stick. He's been on a lot of criticism recently. But I think because he's never had a QB in Michigan, I think some of these criticisms are quite harsh. So I think this year he goes into it with his own quarterback, someone he's chosen, someone he's recruited, and I think they'll be better. They have a strong defense, so I think Michigan can make a run for the NCAA playoffs. And the last thing I want to touch on recently, obviously a big story in England, here's the cricket. England hold on to a 10-31 run victory over India. I thought that was an amazing test at Edgbaston. India really gave it a good run for the money, but England really came through at the end. And I know, Joe, you're a cricket fan, so what were your thoughts on the whole England-India test match?
Yeah, it's one of those things. So with cricket, for me, obviously, there's a variety of different forms of cricket. And test cricket has come under a lot of criticism recently, and it's slightly known as boring, but it's one of those for me where it can go one way. I can sit there one day and I can watch a whole test and it's incredible, and there's other days where I have no interest. But there's no doubt about this one. It went one way, it could have gone the other way, it went back to the other team, and then in the end, yeah, England just coming out with the win and just completed, as an England fan as well, what was an incredible test match for me.
No, absolutely. I've been getting into cricket over the last few years, and I had myself watching this test, and I was obviously very happy that England came through in the end. So, great win for them, and hopefully the rest of the year goes well for them. But now we're going to move into our first guest, and that's the FPL General, to talk some fantasy football. Now joining me here on the Season of Sports is one of our all-time favorite guests, the FPL General. Mark, how are you, mate? Excited to talk some fantasy football with you.
I'm great, Asmir. Thanks for having me back on. I'm refreshed and ready for the new Premier League season. It's rolled around very quickly. It only feels like a couple of weeks ago rather than months that we were finishing up game week 38. So, yeah, ready to go, ready to rock and roll for another season.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, before we get into some of your picks for the year, you are the defending champion of the Season of Sports Fantasy Premier League. So I wanted to congratulate you on your success last year. And please feel free to join our league this year. So for all our listeners, we have a new league. Head to PremierLeague.com and get involved in our fantasy league. The code is 12937061968. So, Mark, I hope you join us again, and we'll see if someone can take you down. But first and foremost, I wanted to get into this year. I know it's like you said, it's really come onto us very, very quickly again, once again, the season. Do you have any high value picks so far that you've done your homework on and you see as being good fits for most people's team?
I think the first name I put into my team was Mo Salah again, the most expensive player in the game, 13 million. But I think it's going to take a very brave manager to go without him at the start of the season. He's going to be very highly owned. I think he's about 50% already ownership. So if you go without him and he fires early on, it's going to hurt you right away. So I think the sensible move is just to get him in from the start. Another high-priced player I like the look of is Aubameyang at Arsenal under the new coach, I think. We've seen at the end of last season, he settled in very quickly to the Premier League, and I think he could be a good shout for the Golden Boot this year. So those were probably the first two I've put into my team so far.
Do you know what? I'm going to be one of those other 50% who don't have Mo Salah in just yet. I've gone for the likes of Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez to see and Christian Eriksen, so I've gone for a little bit more of a balanced midfield. But I do have Aubameyang, and I've stuck with him for this year. I think he could be, now he's had a bit of a time to settle into the Premier League, I think he could be a real force this year. Give me any surprise picks, maybe some lower value picks that people can get some really good value for money.
Yeah, I think this season, going into game week one, there is quite a lot of value to be had with certain players. I think starting with the strikers, now that Arnautovic and Zaha have been reclassified, they're still quite cheap at 7 million. I think both of those are really good value. As long as Zaha stays at Crystal Palace, obviously the transfer window is still open for another couple of days. But if he stays at Palace, he was superb towards the end of last season, and I can see him just kicking on from there. A midfielder I'm looking at, depending on if he plays today in the Community Shield, is Pedro at Chelsea. I think he's 6.5 million. A player I've always been a big fan of in fantasy terms because he's a pretty selfish player, and that's what we like with our attackers. They go for goal when the chances arise more often than not. And if he can nail down a starting position under the new coach there, I think Pedro could be superb value at 6.5 million this season. Defensively then, again, going back to Crystal Palace, the guy Wan-Bissaka is only 4 million. And I mean, we always want to fill our teams with all the big players in fantasy, but you've got to add in a few value picks. And Wan-Bissaka at 4 million, it looks like he's going to start the season at right back. He's been playing most games in pre-season. And if he can nail down that spot, I think he's going to be in a lot of teams as well. And I do like Palace defensively under Roy Hodgson as well.
No, absolutely. Palace seems to be very popular. Patrick Van Aanholt had a good fantasy season last year. You mentioned likes of Wilfred Zaha, so I think those could be really, really, really nice picks. Now, looking at a couple of the new boys, do you see any good picks on the new boys, the likes of maybe Ruben Neves, Tom Kearney, guys like that? What do you think about their values?
Yeah, so I mean, something I've done over the last couple of seasons with Game Week 1 is I usually actually avoid the promoted sites, but I think that might change for me this season. I think there's a lot of value to be had, especially with Wolves and Fulham. You know, they're putting very, very strong squads together, probably some of the strongest squads of promoted sides ever in the Premier League. So one player who stands out to me is the guy at Wolves, Diogo Jota. Now, I can't say I know a huge amount about him. I don't watch a lot of Championship, but he's very popular among the FPL community on Twitter, and he's definitely someone I'm looking at. Shirley as well, if he can settle in at Fulham. We've seen, you know, a couple of seasons ago he's capable of a brace on his day, so he's another one on my watch list. I'm a big fan of Alfie Mawson as well, but he's probably just priced a little bit too high for me to go with him at the start, but I've always been a fan of him. He's always a big threat from set pieces and things like that. But definitely, I do think the promoted sides are worth looking at this season, Wolves and Fulham in particular.
The FPL General joining me here on the Season of Sports. Mark, tell us about your social media handles. I know you're on Instagram and Twitter. Tell us a little bit about you on there, how people can follow your picks going forward.
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Twitter at FPL General. You'll get me on Instagram as well under the same name. And I'll be on YouTube, hopefully from Game Week 2 onwards as well, doing live streams on Friday night. So it'll be just FPL General on YouTube as well.
Perfect, perfect. Last but not least, before you go, I've got to get your thoughts on goalkeepers. Who do you put out there for goalkeepers? Am I any good value for money? What do you think? Am I quite cheap? Or what do we see as a good pick for a goalkeeper for all the fantasy players out there?
You know what, I felt bad last season. You know, I spoke to you a few times on the podcast, and not once did I have you in my team last season. But
do you know what, I didn't want to bring that up, but I thought we'll get that out of the way right away before the season starts this year. So,
but you know what, this season I think could be different. I keep a watch list on the FPL site with the players I'm interested in for Game Week 1, and your name is actually on it this time, so you're in with a chance of being in my Game Week 1 squad. Looking at the fixtures, I think you've got Cardiff, West Ham, Everton first three, so I can't see possibility there for clean sheet, so I'll let you know if you make the cut.
I like it, but moving on for myself, appreciate all the kind comments, but any other picks maybe people should look on? What about the record signing, the most expensive goalkeeper of all time, Alisson at Liverpool?
Yeah, I think definitely he's another one I'm looking at, 5.5 million. Liverpool actually were quite strong defensively last season as well after they brought in Van Dijk. So I think bringing Alisson in now is just going to make them even stronger. And a couple of the defensive midfielders they've brought in as well, expecting a lot of clean sheets from them. There's a lot of good value goalkeepers actually at 4.5 million, aside from yourself. Fabianski is someone I've always been a big fan of. He's always done very well in FPL. He did very well last season. Moving to West Ham now, I think he's another who could be a very good pick. The most obvious one, top goal scoring goalkeeper last season, De Gea at Man United, but it's 6 million. He's quite expensive, so I mean, people have to ask themselves the question if they want to spend that much on their goalkeepers. I tend to just go for I don't like spending more than nine and a half million on goalkeepers, so I may start the season with 2 4.5s and just rotate them.
Well, that's some great insight, Mark. Really, really appreciate it. Like Mark just said there, guys, make sure you follow him on Twitter at FPL General. He's also got a YouTube channel where you can get all your picks for the season ahead. I know you won't be disappointed. So, Mark, thank you so much for joining us in the Season of Sports. Your insight's amazing. And looking forward to battling it out with you this year.
Cheers, Osmir. I'll be back to defend my crown in the Season of Sports My League.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Now moving on to our football chat on the Season of Sports, we go to our next guest, Ian Abrahams, the Moose. Moose, welcome to the Season of Sports, mate. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem, Anthony. How are you, pal? You all right?
I'm really good, thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And you know, the first thing I kind of wanted to get into with you was the transfer window. I think we've had a crazy summer. It's been the World Cup. the transfer window closes this week. I think so much has gone on this year in the transfer window, Liverpool being the biggest spenders. What has stood out for you this year in the transfer window and so far the players coming into the Premier League?
Well, the first thing I've got to say is it's an absolutely dreadful and bonkers idea for the transfer window to be shutting in England before anywhere else in Europe. I mean, you know, I think the English clubs could suffer because of that, but it closing this Thursday and the rest of Europe having, you know, almost the rest of the month to still sign players. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works, especially in the World Cup year. I like Liverpool's business. I mean, you're a goalkeeper, I'm not, but I do think there was an awful lot of money they spent on Alisson. They needed a new goalkeeper. I mean, I didn't think there was any way after the European Cup final that, you know, that Carrius could play again for Liverpool. I think that would have been a terrible idea. So I think Jurgen Klopp needed a goalkeeper. He spent a lot of money on Alisson. I wonder whether he's double or twice as good as Ederson, who was the previous highest, you know, arrival in this country when he joined Man City. But, you know, the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. I mean, I saw Roma play Liverpool as everyone else did in the Champions League semi-finals, and Alisson let a good few goals in. Now, I mean, goalkeepers do that. They do let goals in, but they also, you know, have the ability to win teams a lot of points. And I think that the price tag on his head, he'll need to win Liverpool an awful lot of points this season. A season I think the amount of money they've spent, Liverpool has to challenge.
No, absolutely. I think with the additions of Alisson, Fabinho, Keita and Shaqiri, Liverpool look incredibly strong, and I think they can certainly mount a title challenge. What about your favourite team, moving on to West Ham? They've made also some noticeable signings, likes of Felipe Anderson, Jack Wilshere. How do you rate West Ham's business this summer?
Oh, it's the sublime to ridiculous. I mean, you know, for years we've been going, come on, let's spend some money, let's get West Ham to the next level. But, you know, and some of the, I mean, most of the signings look good. I mean, you know, I like Fabianski in goal. I think he was raw when he was at Arsenal. He did make mistakes, but I think at Swansea he was very good. So I'm happy with that signing. Ryan Fredericks at right back West Ham have needed a right back for a long time. Can't remember the really, you know, really, really good right back West Ham had in a while now. So, you know, I think that's an important signing. Yarmolenko, I think, is maybe a year or two past his absolute best. The rest of the signings, I'm happy with. Jack Wilshere, obviously. I mean, he's a West Ham fan. You know, I think if he stays fit, I mean, he played with him down at Bournemouth for a year. And I think Jack's still got it. I mean, you know, I was really surprised that Jack didn't go to the World Cup with England. I think that there's still a really good player in there, a player that, you know, absolutely can contribute for club and country. The rest of the players, it's just how they gel. I mean, you know, sometimes I think you're better if you're going to try and change a team or a philosophy of a squad or what have you. You're better to do it in threes and fours in different windows rather than by eight players in one go. You know, how they're going to gel, how the players that they're going to, you know, that aren't playing now who were playing last year, how are they going to take to not playing again? You know the dressing room better than I. But, you know, there'll be some players who play for West Ham for the last two or three years who now won't get a look in. And you know, how will they deal with that? How will the dynamics of the dressing room be dealt with that? So it's going to be interesting. I mean, on the face of it, it looks really good. Where will West Ham finish? As I always say, they'll finish somewhere between 7th and 12th. But, you know, the players have to gel. If they don't gel, then it could be anything.
Certainly interesting times at the London Stadium. Now, moving on to the bigger picture of the Premier League, how do you see the title race? Who is your Premier League favourite? What about the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal? Can they go back into the top four? Obviously, Maurizio Sarri has taken over at Chelsea. Unai Emery has taken over at Arsenal, so they both have new managers. They've spent a bit of money. How do you see sort of the top six, top seven working out this year?
I don't think that Man City can win the league by the distance they did last year and not follow it up again this year. I think that, you know, it has to be incredible for teams to catch them. I mean, you know, the 20-odd points gap was incredible. As I said, I think Jurgen Klopp's been under pressure. I think that they have to challenge this year, Liverpool. They have to really go very, very close, because I think the money he spent, and you know, he's got no excuses now. It's his team, you know. Originally, it wasn't his team. Originally, it was going to be, you know, he could say, well, hang on, these are the players I inherited. I haven't bought anybody in. Well, now he's moulded the team into what he wants. So I think he's got to go close. For me, there's too much, what's the word I'm looking for? Angst. There's too much uncertainty and unpleasantness even within the Manchester United dressing room for me to see them going too close. And, you know, the three London sides, I mean, I don't know about Emery at Arsenal. I mean, he's got all his players in early, but yeah, he's won the Europa League with Sevilla. But, you know, that doesn't give you the credentials to win a Premier League with Arsenal. Sarri's coming with 2 weeks to go, looking to keep hold of his players. Again, he's never won a trophy. You know, plays good football, great. Wants to have fun, great. But, you know, he's never won anything. And Pochettino and Spurs, you know, they're no different to last year. Yes, they play great football. Yes, their 1-11 is arguably, you know, one of the best in the league. But there's no depth in that squad because, you know, who's going to come and play second fiddle to Kane? Who's going to come and play second fiddle to Eriksen? Who's going to come and play second fiddle to most of the players who now are fairly established in that 1-11? So, you know, you look at it and you think, I can't really see past Man City. I know that's probably a very boring prediction, but, you know, I just think that, you know, everyone else has got to improve remarkably on last year. And bar Liverpool, I don't think anyone has. And Liverpool will have that pressure of, well, come on, you spend lots of money. Can you do it?
And Man City have arguably gotten stronger with the addition of Riyad Mahrez, and if they're doing more business this week. So it's interesting to see what happens there. Ian Abraham's joining me here on the Season of Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @BroadcastMoose, to get all the latest football inside. Now, last question for you, Moose. Do you have a dark horse for the year? Any surprise packages? I know some of the promoted teams have obviously spent some big money, but in general, do you see a team, you know, doing really well, or are you worried about a certain team also on the other side of things?
In terms of teams doing really well, I mean, obviously we had Burnley last year, who did really well. I think Wolves and Fulham will do well this year. Wolves, I thought would do well. I mean, you know, that project's now been going for, I hate that word project, but I'm going to use it. That project's been going for a year and it's been successful. Don't see any reason why it shouldn't continue to be. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Jotters and the Neves is look in the Premier League, but I can't believe they're not going to thrive. Fulham, likewise, I like the addition of Andre Schürrle. I think that's been a good addition. Tom Kearney and Sessegnon staying was obviously massive, and that's why they had to win at Wembley last year, the playoff final. Mitrovic will be interesting. I mean, he scored lots of goals in the Championship, and obviously clearly gets on well with Jukanovic where he didn't with Benitez. But, you know, will he score lots of goals in the Premier League? I mean, I saw him a couple of times at the World Cup and thought that actually he missed a lot. Did miss an awful lot, but, and they spent a lot of money on him. But, you know, if he comes off, then I think Fulham have a good season. It seems as teams I fear for, I'm not sure about. Newcastle, again, I think that needs to be sorted out with the owner and the manager. And, you know, Benitez seems permanently unhappy up there. I love your club, Bournemouth. And you know, I hope that they do well this season. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't do well this season. I think there'll be a big scramble towards the bottom to go down. I mean, I'm going to put Cardiff as absolute bankers to go down because I think they will. Neil Warnock's great at getting teams out of the Championship, but he's never gets a team in the Premier League. So I think Cardiff will go down, which leaves two spaces. And as I say, I think Newcastle, unless they dramatically improve, we'll see what happens with Palace and Zaha. If Zaha stays, I think they'll be fine. If Zaha goes and with no Loftus-Cheek this year, it could be very interesting what happened to them, although they brought in Kouyaté and Max Meyer this week to maybe, you know, counteract that. I think it's going to be very interesting towards the bottom of the table. More interesting probably towards the bottom of the table this year, like it was last year, than towards the top, where, as I say, I think City, they won't run away with it as much this year, but you know, I'd be surprised if they're not champions again.
Well, no, thank you for the insight, Moose. Those are all the questions I have, but I believe we have a couple questions from our listeners. From you. So over to you, Joe, for a couple questions for the Moose.
Yeah, we do. So as you know, at the end of every episode, we open up the mailbag in the huddle, and we like to get a few questions for you, Asmir. But as the Moose is on here, we've received a couple for him. Moose, we've got one from Mark. He's on Twitter, and he's got in touch to say he follows you, and he enjoys the food pictures that you put up when you go to games. But he wants to know, when you get a takeaway, what's your favourite? What's your pick?
No contest here. It's the same as when I go to a restaurant, and when I'm covering Bournemouth, as Asmir knows, there's one particular restaurant I always go to, which is Chez Fred. So it has to be fish and chips. You cannot beat a really nice bit of cod or plaice and chips. Absolutely fantastic. A bit of mushy peas every now and again. Depends what kind of mood I'm in. But yeah, fish and chips every day of the week.
And what do you have to drink with that?
Sorry?
What do you have to drink with your fish and chips there?
Well, I'm normally driving home, so it's normally a traditional cup of tea with it. But if I'm at home, I might have a lager or something. But yeah, I mean, fish and chips, in front of the telly, watching football, watching Asmus doing his stuff. That's what I like. That's what I enjoy doing. Mate.
I will back you up there, Moose. That is a very good, very good fish and chips.
Brilliant, isn't it? We're gonna have to go there one day. I know you keep telling me you're an athlete and your body's a temple. But I'm gonna have to take you there one day. One day after a game. Next time
after
I'm down.
A game, we'll do it after a game. It's a date. I like it.
Excellent. And I do have one more for you here, Moose, and it's actually aimed at both of you. It's from Terry, also on Twitter, and I'll get your answers one by one, so no fighting over it. He wants to know who's finishing higher this season, West Ham or Bournemouth. Moose, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have to say that I'm a massive fan of Eddie Howe's, and I've loved what's happened at Bournemouth the last few years. I really do. And obviously, with one of my best friends playing for the team, I always want them to do well. But I cannot see any way whatsoever that Bournemouth will finish above West Ham. I think if they've got a manager in who looks like and is saying the right things, and hopefully will deliver this season, whereas last couple of managers have been struggling, and they have made some good signings. So I'm going to say definitely West Ham will finish above Bournemouth.
Okay, and Asmir.
Not surprisingly, Joe, I'm going to say for us, to finish higher. But I think we're both going to be in the same ballpark. I'm hoping for a positive year for both of us. Make sure we guarantee Premier League survival first and foremost, and then take it from there. But I think we'll both be in the same ballpark.
Excellent. I like it.
Okay. Perfect. Well, Moose, thank you for joining us here on the Season Sports. Really, really appreciate it. I know it's been your first appearance on here, so hopefully it's one of many, many more. And good luck at the Community Shield today. I know you're going to enjoy that game, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Anytime, Asmir. Anytime at all, mate. No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
We've had two great guests on the show this time around, with the FPL General talking some fantasy football, Ian Abrahams talking about Premier League and what's in store for us this year. Now we move on to one of the best parts of the show, is the huddle, and it's over to you, Joe.
Thank you, Asmir. Yeah, this first one comes from HarrisN1 on Twitter, and it's my favourite, actually. It's really interesting. I don't know if you saw it during the week. Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Guzan, he was mic'd up in the All-Star game against Juventus, I believe. And Harris wants to know, do you think, what do you think about this? And would you say it's a good idea for a possible future in football?
I mean, I thought it was really, really cool. I thought it was a really nice idea. Trust our American friends to come up with these sort of things. I thought it was really cool. Obviously, it's a glorified friendly, the All-Star game. So I think it's something that could be done. I think very difficult to do in a competitive game. But, I'm sure that it's something we'll do over here in Europe as well at some point. And I think gives great insight for the fans, and it's really good interaction with everyone. So I really liked it, and I thought it was a great idea.
Excellent. I've got one here from a friend of mine, Ben Littlemore. He plays a bit of semi-pro goalkeeper. And he said, do you think goalkeepers are undervalued after all the talk around Alisson's move to Liverpool? Do you think they should be worth more?
Well, of course, I think the goalkeeper's most important position on the field. But I think, all jokes aside, generally goalkeepers are valued by teams for sure. I think there's a certain market price for goalkeepers, I don't think, because maybe they're people pay less for him, they're less valued. Obviously, Alisson's move to Liverpool has set a certain different price tag and set the market at a certain level, but which was, you know, well deserved for him, and I wish him all the best. He's a world-class goalkeeper and deservedly so. But I think, in general, goalkeepers within inside the game are valued and, you know, just as important as anyone else on the field.
And one final one. This is from Harris N1 again. He wants to know, how far can the Lakers go now?
That's a great question. I think, obviously, in the NBA, it should be another fascinating season next year. The Western Conference is wide open, to be honest. I think once you get past Golden State, who are the clear favorites for the Western Conference crown and I think the general NBA crown, it opens up quite a bit. I think the Rockets have gotten a little bit weaker. I think Trevor Ariza leaving is a big deal for them. I'm not so sure about the Spurs. You know, they're a little bit of in a little bit of a transition right now. The Thunder, you never know where you're going to get. The Jazz are quite young. So why can't the Lakers be up there in the top two or three teams in the Western Conference? So when you have the best player of all time and the best player in the league on your team, then it gives you a chance to be very, very successful. I like the fact that they've gotten the Lance Stevenson, the Rondos, you know, the Michael Beasleys, the JaVale McGees, because these guys are competitive. They're not going to be scared of anyone. They're going to compete. You know, maybe it's not the traditional setup of a team around LeBron where they have a lot of shooters, but I think these guys can make plays. I think they'll compete. They'll be tough defensively. And I think they'll give themselves a chance to be really successful this year. I think they'll win around 50 games and, you know, it should be good for the, top half of the Western Conference for sure.
Great stuff. That's great. So if you just want to do the outro now, mate, and then we can wrap up.
Perfect. Well, that brings us to the end of the huddle, and that's obviously the end of our show. So we want to say a big thank you to everyone for their questions. Keep following us on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Keep the questions coming in each and every episode. Like I mentioned before, with our chat with the FPL General, we do have a fantasy football league going once again this year on PremierLeague.com. So make sure you guys enter. Our league code is 129-3706-519-688. We'll offer some prizes throughout the year. We look forward to interacting with you guys and having some fun and batting out for the crown. So really enjoyed the show once again. Listen to us on iTunes, Audio Boom, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And Joe, thank you for being here with me again today, and very much look forward to our next show.